Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Happy Marathon Monday, everyone. The need for rain boots and umbrellas aside, it's been a great race day.
And a good day for the Red Sox as well. At Fenway Park, the Sox are ahead of the Baltimore Orioles 7-1 in the seventh inning in a rain-delayed game.
Okay, Red Sox, we're hoping you can help us finish strong the way all those runners have been doing today. So let's go down to the finish line in Copley Square and check in with WBUR's Alex Ashlock. Hi there, Alex.
Good afternoon, Meghna. No rain delay in the marathon.
No, not at all. Rain or shine, the runners ran. First of all, what's the mood like down there?
The mood's pretty good. The weather did put a bit of a damper on the race. Early on, I was on the women's press truck, so we were off at 9:30. The crowds in Ashland and Framingham were not as big as I've seen them in years past, but by the time we came through Wellesley and Newton and then on into Brookline and Boston, the crowds got bigger. So the mood is the mood's pretty good despite the negative weather, the soggy weather, especially down here on Boylston Street.
So, Alex, you were on the women's press truck, which means you had the best seat in the house for what I just was an amazing finish to the women's race.
Yeah, there have been some great finishes in the women's race over the last, I would say, 6 or 7 years. Last year was a bit of an outlier with Rita Jeptu of Kenya winning by a large margin, and later she tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. So there's some suspicion for that good finish she had last year. But today, Caroline Rotich of Kenya and Marie Dibaba of Ethiopia battled down Boylston Street. They were really neck and neck, and I saw Rotich coming down the street. Dibaba looked like she was in quite a bit of pain, but Caroline Rotich almost seemed to have a smile on her face as she edged out Dibaba and won the race by less than a second. So it was a very close finish in the women's race.
That's incredible, Alex. How often have you seen that happen, a marathon being decided by less than a second?
Well, there have been some races here in Boston in the last few years that have been decided like that, Anthony. Des Linden, the American, the top American in today's race, she finished fourth. I think it was in 2011. She and Caroline Kalel of Kenya battled right down to the finish, and Kalel won, but it was, again, about a second or two margin. Kalel, by the way, finished sixth. But you're right to say it is unusual, but it seems like it's happened here in Boston, especially in the women's races for the last few years. It wasn't a close finish in the men's race today.
Yeah, much different scene over there. So tell us about the elite men. Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia won. Did he make it look easy? Give us a sense of that race.
He did. He broke away late in the race, and he came down Boylston Street all by himself. He was pumping his fist, and he's been here before, Anthony. He won the Boston Marathon in 2013, the year of the bombings, and the bombings obviously took attention away from the winners of that race. But Lalisa Desisa came back later that year and returned his award, his winning medal, his award for winning the Boston Marathon. He gifted it back to the city as a sign of his support for the victims and survivors of the Boston Marathon bombing. So he did make it look easy today in the men's race. He won in 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 17 seconds, and the second place finisher was about 25 seconds behind him.
And tell us what happened to Meb Keflezighi, the American and last year's champion.
Meb Keflezighi was running well for quite a bit of the race, and about 35 kilometers, he actually had some health issues. He really got sick there. He was having trouble keeping water down, and he actually got sick. So at that point, he sort of lost contact with the leaders, and he ended up finishing eighth. But he had said earlier that there was no way he could top what he had done last year. Maybe even another victory might not have topped what he did last year, because he was the first American man to win the open race in 31 years. But he was not unhappy with what he did today. He was happy to run here in Boston. He talked about how much support he had out on the course. So he sprinted hard to the finish, but he did finish eighth. The top American in the race, by the way, was Dathan Ritzenhain. He finished seventh, and this was his first Boston Marathon.
Alex, in general, what's your take on what kind of impact all this wind and rain had on today's race?
Well, it definitely had an impact on the women's race. I mentioned Rita Jeptu earlier. She ran a time of 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 15 seconds to win the women's race last year. Caroline Rodich's time today was 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 55 seconds. I don't have my calculator here, but I think that's almost 6 minutes slower. So, and you could see the women, since I watched them more closely than the men, you could sort of see them all bunched together as a pack for almost the entire race until probably the last 3 miles when three women broke away, including Rodich and Dibaba. But for much of the race, the women stayed in a tight pack, and they were running directly into the wind. Shalane Flanagan and Des Linden, the Americans, they were in the middle of that pack, and Shalane Flanagan dropped back and finished ninth. Linden, as I said, finished fourth. But the wind definitely had an impact on them. I'm not so sure, at least time-wise, it had much impact on the men's race, because the times were not that slow when you compare them to some of the recent times.
You know, Alex, we've just got about a minute to go here, but we can't wrap up without talking about the wheelchair races, especially on the men's side, because of who didn't win.
Yes, Ernst van Dijk of South Africa had 10 Boston Marathon titles coming into this race, more than anyone else. He did finish second today, but the winner was Marcel Hug of Switzerland. And some people might think that's a surprise, but Marcel Hug has actually finished fourth twice in this Boston Marathon. So Ernst van Dijk's 42 years old. He did say he was in the best shape of his life, but he couldn't compete with Marcel Hug today. In the women's wheelchair race, Tatiana McFadden of America, of the United States, no one could compete with her. She is winning for the third straight time in the women's wheelchair race in Boston, and she heads to London next weekend to try to complete a double win.
WBUR's Alex Ashlock speaking to us from the finish line in Copley Square. Alex, thanks as always, and we'll check back with you a little later in the show.
You're welcome.
All right, well, Marathon Monday, as you just heard, is of course about the runners, but it's also about the spectators, and it was estimated that despite wind and rain, more than 1 million people showed up along the course today. And one of the places that's hosted marathon spectators for years is O'Leary's Irish Pub and Restaurant on Beacon Street and St. Mary's Street in Brookline, just about a mile from the finish line. Spectators are watching some of the last runners approach Kenmore Square now, and owner Angus O'Leary is on the line. Welcome to the show, Angus.
Hello.
So what's it been like today at O'Leary's?
It's been pretty crazy, I have to say.
crazier than an average Monday afternoon, I presume?
Well, I would have to say, yeah, that would be just a slight exaggeration, yes.
And what have spectators been telling you about watching the marathon and what it means to them and their spirits, if I can use that term, today?
Well, I mean, it's such a tradition in the city, you know, and we've been doing this for 25 years right here at this location, and it's just become a... just become a great party, a cause for celebration, especially considering what happened the last couple of years. People are really, you can really feel the pride and the spirit of the city right here today.
Angus, I'm wondering, on a day when the wind is blowing, the rain is coming down, what's the drink of choice at O'Leary's?
Well, today tends to be mostly a beer day. To be honest with you, yeah.
Now, I know that that O'Leary's is actually on the wrong side of Beacon Street for me to ask this question, but I was wondering, as the runners run by, do you think any of them sort of like take a longing look into the windows of O'Leary's and think, my God?
Sure. We've actually gotten a few runners back here already.
Oh, really?
To tumultuous applause from the people.
Well, Angus O'Leary is the owner of O'Leary's Irish Pub and Restaurant on Beacon Street and St. Mary Street in Brookline. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're quite welcome.
A big part of the excitement of Marathon Monday, of just about any sporting event, in fact, are all about the sounds of the crowd.
Like the sounds from race fans at the Wellesley College Scream Tunnel.
Or from these spectators urging the runners up Heartbreak Hill in Newton.
The cheers and support from hundreds of thousands of people, most of them strangers, help push the runners along for the 26-plus miles.
Now imagine running the marathon in silence. As if running 26.2 miles wasn't difficult enough, running it in silence adds an extra challenge for athletes who are hearing impaired. Sean Elam was thinking of them as he ran his first Boston Marathon today.
Sean is an audiologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and today he ran for one of the hospital's charity teams. And Anthony, you spoke with him on Friday.
That's right. He's an audiologist and a runner, and he talked to us about the importance of sound.
Having people cheer your name or your bib number, it gives you so much energy to kind of push through all the pain that comes with running a marathon. It just gives you something to be distracted by, and it gives you a lot of that excitement to push yourself to the end of the race.
So tell me what that's like for folks who are athletes, maybe runners, but who are hearing impaired. What do you tell them? How do you encourage them to run a marathon without that sort of support of being able to hear the crowd?
Yeah, so luckily, with Boston being such a huge marathon, there's so many people along the course, and there's so much excitement. So even if you can't really pick up on the sound energy, there's a lot of visual energy that you can pick up on. So really kind of feeding off that as well.
So tell me why you're running the Boston Marathon this year and what it means to you.
I grew up in rural Illinois, middle of nowhere. And when I started running cross country, I remember my coach saying, "The only race that matters is the Boston Marathon." So I just grew up with this idea that this is the race to run. And so about 2 years ago when I moved out here, it just was my dream to be able to run this race. And to be able to represent Brigham and Women's Hospital while running is just an added bonus to how significant this is. I'm really inspired, again, to run for my patients that I see every single day that are pushing themselves and that are really trying to achieve something great.
Mm. And tell me about training this winter. It was tough. It was a rough winter for a lot of people.
Yeah, there was not a single training run that I went on until maybe this week that was comfortable. The weather, it was either freezing temperatures, freezing rain, blizzard, ice. It was just really, really tough. Streets were just totally shut down. And so to be running outside, it was just every single training run was a challenge. You had to be careful with traffic. You had to be careful with where you stepped so you didn't sprain your ankle. So it was tough. It was really tough.
Right. And what's your goal? What about your time?
So my goal, my goal really is, I always say my goal is just to finish, but I'm going for about like 3.5 hours.
Well, Sean finished the Boston Marathon just a few minutes ago, and he did it in 3 hours and 33 minutes. So spot on there, Sean, and congratulations to all the runners today.
Congratulations indeed. And Meghna, we've got an update from Fenway Park. That rain-delayed game is now officially complete. Red Sox beat the Orioles 7-1 in 7 innings.
Okay, it's complete, so meaning they didn't necessarily finish the game, but it's official and they won.
The weather gods decided that this game will be finished after 7 innings, and so the Red Sox take the victory.
Excellent. Red Sox fans are going to hate me for saying this, but they won and they didn't even have to finish. Tell that to the 30,000 runners who were toughing it out there.
That's baseball.
Well, stick with us, because when we come back, we'll have a more serious but meaningful conversation, because we can begin about what we can begin to expect tomorrow in the penalty phase of the Tsarnaev trial. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston. And let's go back to news from Copley Square and the Boston Marathon, where runners are still crossing the finish line. And just to recap, Caroline Rotish of Kenya won the women's race, and Lalisa Desisa won the men's race. He's from Ethiopia.
WBUR reporter Asma Khalid has been out along the course all day, but she's back here in the warmth of the studio,
drinking some tea.
Joining us, Asma, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
And Asma, I was going to say, you've been clutching that cup of tea since you've been coming here. It was cold out there. How cold?
It was. You know, it wasn't just cold, Anthony, it was really windy as well. And I mean, I feel like I'm ashamed to sort of say this, because, you know, there are 30,000 some runners who were running over 26 miles.
But they were staying warm while they were running.
Yes, exactly. But we saw lots of spectators lined up as well, and many of them had Dunkin' Donuts coffee cups in their hands. I mean, the crowds, though, were smaller and much more subdued than last year. I don't know if that's because, you know, last year was the year after the bombings, if it was the cold or if it was also the security. I had to enter through, it was, I think, security checkpoint number 36. And, you know, luckily was able to go through very quickly. But that line was nearly a block long. Mm. So I think time will tell, you know, the degree to which people are willing to sort of go through these security measures to get to the close perimeter of the finish line.
And what did you hear from folks out there? I mean, did this sort of dampen the marathon spirit at all?
Well, the crowds were smaller, but the people who were there were really, really excited. I talked to a lot of family members, some people who were freshmen also in college. This was their first Boston Marathon that they had ever been to. One woman I met, her name is Rhonda Gantz, and she's from Canton, Ohio. She was there because her daughter, Ashton Avery, is running today. And I met her earlier this morning because I saw a bunch of people taking refuge inside the lobby ATM of a Bank of America. And I went in there to talk to her.
It's freezing outside, and we noticed that it was kind of empty in here, so came indoors. It's cold. I'm not from here, so it's kind of cold compared to what, and I didn't come properly dressed.
You had a jean jacket on.
I know, I had to go buy me another jacket just to stay warm.
Oh, really? Really? You did today? Seriously? Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was too cold.
And she had been there, she said, since 7 a.m. So once the rain started coming down, she said, you know, I needed to find shelter. She found a great spot next to one of those giant screens so she could keep an eye on the race.
And Asma, what about the runners? What were they telling you?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of runners expressed sort of mixed feelings. I think they were, I saw them, and, you know, they were wet and cold, shivering as they crossed the finish line. And you saw a lot of people, I think in the past, you sort of see them limping across the finish line. Today, it was unusual in the sense that really people were shivering. And those silver poncho blankets that they get, you saw people putting them on immediately. Nearly everyone was wearing them. But people also said that it felt really nice to run in the chill. I spoke with a trauma surgeon at MGH who was running the race. His name is David King. And today was not his first time running, but I asked him how today's race went.
I don't know. It's pretty awesome, despite the weather.
Did the rain affect you at all? Or?
Yeah, it made me run faster. It's my best Boston time ever, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, I'll take it.
And David seemed to think that that rain actually encouraged him, you know, as you heard, to go through and run a little faster than perhaps before. He also ran in 2013, and we spoke a bit about that. He actually, as I mentioned, is a trauma surgeon at MGH, so he ran that year.
The year
and then
of the bombing.
The year of the bombings, and went to work the day that the bombs went off.
Yeah, I finished about an hour before the bombs went off, and
congratulations!
I heard what happened. I ran to the hospital, and
way to go,
running for MGH. You know, here we go.
He went to work operating for days.
And you hear him talking there about the explosions in 2013. I definitely heard quite a few people reference 2013 and you know, speak about that race, especially folks who had run the marathon a number of times. But, you know, I will say it was really interesting. Tomorrow starts sentencing for convicted bomber Jahar Tsarnaev, and nobody once mentioned that to me.
All right. Well, that's WBUR's reporter Asma Khalid, who's just come in after a long, cold day at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Asma, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, let's turn back to WBUR's Alex Ashlock, who's at the finish line in Copley Square and joins us once again from there. So, Alex, runners still crossing the line?
Runners are still crossing the line. They'll probably be doing that for, I don't know, maybe a couple of hours. And after that, the race director, the longtime race director, Dave McGilvery, usually heads back out to Hopkinton and runs the race himself. So he might be running in the rain. He might not have as many friends as he usually does when he does that this year. Asma mentioned 2013, talking to runners about that. There's a 2013 connection to the race today. Lalissa Desisa of Ethiopia is the men's winner, as Anthony mentioned a little bit ago. He won the race in 2013. He came back later that year and gave his winning medal back to the city of Boston because he had been affected so much by the bombings and wanted to show support for the city and the victims and the survivors. So that's another 2013 connection to what's going on here today, the 119th Boston Marathon. Mm.
Alex, you know, as you're down there by the finish line, remind us a little bit about some of the physical challenges that folks are facing right now as they cross that finish line. How do people handle all that running?
Well, it's been raining, it's been windy. Asma mentioned the wind, and you know, the people that are crossing the finish line right now, it's been a long day for them. It's
they've been
4
out there
o'clock.
Right, so they've been out there four or five hours,
and that's you know, it's taking a toll on people. They're shivering, as Asma said. I mean, it's been cold, it's been windy. It affected the races, I think, especially the women's race, much slower this year than it was last year. But it's probably better than 2012 when it was really hot. So you'd probably rather run 26 miles when it's 50 degrees or 45 degrees and a little bit rainy than you would run when it's like 70 degrees or 80 degrees. So all in all, I think it's, you know, not been a terrible day, but the crowds were smaller today. And again, I don't know, as Ozma said, whether that was because of the extra security or because of the weather. It did feel to me that, like, downtown there was even more security than there was last year, but that could just be my thinking, but it seemed that way.
You know, Alex, we've just got a couple seconds to go here, but Ozma was telling us that not one single person mentioned to her the fact that the Tsarnaev trial picks up again tomorrow. Right. Did that happen to you as well? No one talks about it or talked about it?
No one really talked about what's going to be happening tomorrow. And I talked to a lot of runners in the lead up to the marathon this year in their training. And they were really trying not to think about the trial. They were trying to keep it separated from what they were doing. And this was actually before the verdicts came down. So I think I've said this before, but the Boston Marathon is always going to be colored in some way by what happened in 2013. But it seems like this year, even though we're getting to the sentencing phase tomorrow, people are trying to move on from what happened and just make this a celebration of the city.
Well, another great race today that we've been seeing. It goes a long way to returning the event to a celebration. WBUR's Alex Ashluck. Thanks as always, Alex.
You're welcome, Magna.
And thanks and congratulations to all those runners, including those runners who are still making their way across the finish line now. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.